And we're here on the K&M Podcast, Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Michael here at DetroitLions.com as we talk off-season Detroit Lions football. Hello, Mike. This is show number one of the off-season.
Well, the off-season, but it wasn't off-season in my living room last night. I was glued to the television.
We'll get to that.
I'm a happy man.
Well, are you happy?
You can't bring me down.
Well, we're going to question should you be happy, but we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, Detroit Lions offseason.
That was a draft pick.
NFL.
Draft
Let's pick. Get to this real quick. Let's, you know, look.
Go ahead.
These segments for the next 2 or 3 months, we're not doing 30, 40 minutes again. We're going to be doing them shorter, but we're going to get more info in, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing these. I hope you people out there listening continue to enjoy these podcasts, because I'm trying to school Michael Hare, who has about 50 years of NFL knowledge, that he just doesn't know everything. He owes almost everything, but he doesn't know everything, all right? And I'm here to school him.
What I don't know is what
That's
I don't
right.
know.
What you don't know is what you don't know. First of all, are you happy? Let's get this out right now. We'll get to the Lions in a minute. We're talking about the NFL playoff weekend, wild card weekend is what they call it. Are you happy with this extra team added? A lot of people crying on radio and TV about my man Rob Parker, who's a friend of mine. He's crying about they never should have put the extra team in. It was just made for bad football. Two of the six games were close games that you could say were real good games. The other ones were pretty much blowouts. Are you happy with the extra team being in, or should they go back to the way it was?
First of all, they'll never go back. And, yeah, I'm happy with the way it is. But you know what? If they hadn't expanded, I wouldn't have cared either, though. So this is one of those to me. I watch what they put up there. I cover what they put up there. I'm happy with it. But if they hadn't expanded it, it wouldn't have bothered me.
Well, you know, the one thing that I do like, and I don't know if you like it or not, that there's only one bye team instead of two. I think that there should only be one reward for each conference. I never liked the two. I know they had to do it because it made it even for the number of teams, but now that they added the extra team, the reward should be just for the best team in each league.
Well, that's what they've done, and that's okay.
Yeah.
If, you know what? If you're a team out there and you don't like it, next year, win an extra game.
Right.
Okay? The way it is.
So either have one team or no teams. I can go with the no teams, too, but I don't want to add an extra team for that. Either no teams or one. I don't think two teams should be rewarded. Because some years, 10-6 teams got the bye. You know, and that's not doing anything.
It never really bothered me that there were two byes, but I really get the idea that it puts a premium on playing the season out, playing right to the end, playing right to the last Sunday in the season to get that bye. Because we can see those byes are important.
Right. Right. So what were your impressions on the weekend as a whole? What did you you focused in on? We'll get to the Stafford, L.A. Rams, Detroit conundrum in a minute. But what did you think of the weekend?
I think for the most part, the teams that were supposed to win won. The good teams won. The bad teams didn't. And I think in some regards, some teams got exposed a little bit. I put the New England Patriots in there. They were not the team of the last six games of the season that they were in the first 11, and that includes their rookie quarterback, Mac Jones. I thought he looked more and more like a rookie every game he played, and he didn't cost them anything because they got absolutely blown out by the Bills in the last game. But he was what he really was supposed to be, a good, smart kid from Alabama who's not a dynamic athlete, knows how to run an offense. It has limited upside, but a keeper is going to play 15 years in a league. Don't get me wrong, but I think that's basically what happened. The same thing that happened to him happened to the Eagles and a couple of other teams, including last night the Cardinals. I thought they got exposed too. They played last night the way they played against the Detroit Lions 5 weeks ago.
All right, are you ready for my impressions?
Absolutely.
I don't do impressions. No, anyway. I had to get that in. Jalen Hurt, Kyler Murray exposed. Exposed as quarterbacks. Now, I'm not saying Kyler Murray is not a good quarterback. I'm just saying exposed as this Pro Bowl quarterback that – why he made the Pro Bowl this year over Stafford again, we'll get to that in a little later. He should have never did, but he's exposed to me. As good as he is, as many talents as he has, he's always going to be 5'8". I'm sorry. There's a reason why Doug Flutie never became a great, great player. Even though Doug Flutie had some great games in the NFL when he came back, he never became that superstar that he was in college because of his height. And Kyler Murray is always going to be limited by that height.
He's limited by that. And the more I watch him, the more I think, and look, he's a tremendous athlete. So I'm just evaluating him. This is nothing personal or anything like that. But the more I watch him, the more I think he's a baseball player playing football. I really believe that. There's just a little bit there lacking in his knack of playing quarterback, his feel for the game. Now maybe he'll develop that over time, and I would certainly think he's not going to be the same player 3 years from now that he is now. But he just looks a little bit to me like a really good baseball player who is like a tremendous good player. I'm not saying he's not good or anything like that. But I think he's more of a baseball player playing football than he is a natural football player.
Yeah, and I could
be completely wrong.
Like I say, I'm sure he'll have a great career. He'll play 10 years or whatever. But I'm just saying, my upper echelon guys, I don't know if he's going to make it because of size. And number two, unless he's playing for the New York No-Dos, man, I got to have more personality out of my quarterback. I'm sorry, I can't be having that. Well, we just played bad and. I got to see some fire, man. Come on, Kyler.
Remember 30 years ago in the NBA, they had the expression NBA cool?
Yeah.
You saw these stone-faced guys playing?
Yeah.
That was the cool thing in the NBA?
Yeah.
NBA cool, that's what he reminds
me of. Yeah, but you can't be a quarterback in the league today and not have that fire. You look at the other guys that have fire, man, the Bradys, Lamar Jacksons, Stafford. Even Stafford, he's not the most fiery guy, but he's more than Kyler Murray, man, will put you to sleep when he's talking to you.
Yeah, he has it. Stafford has it on game day. He really does. Absolutely in spades on game day.
But
you're right.
I just looked at them last night in the huddle, man, and when the game was going downhill, and he was like a hostage to it, man. He wasn't trying to get out. He was just, what do you call Stockholm syndrome? He just decided, we're done, man. I'm just happy to be a hostage, man. I'm just here. I didn't like that. And then the interception he threw, even though Stafford threw one early in the season, almost as bad. Somebody sent a memo out to quarterbacks because that's just not happening. All right, let's move on because I want to get these quickly in. The Dallas game, Dak Prescott. Sorry. I want to say this one thing. You're paid like the highest paid quarterback in the league. I haven't seen it. I didn't see it beforehand, but Jerry paid you. You got to step up. That last play, do not blame referees.
Absolutely not.
Larry Fitzgerald one time grabbed the ball and ran to the official with it. He knew what the deal was. Zach, you can't hand it to the center and expect to do it. On Fox yesterday, Acho and Marcellus were doing a slowdown of it, and Acho stopped it at 4 seconds when the center got the ball, and Prescott is – getting him back at the center. He could have gave that ball to the ref right then, turned around, the ref was running into the play at the 4 second mark, and he would have had no problem getting the playoff. So it's on him.
I'm glad you mentioned the ref running, because the ref was running. One of those wide receivers, 85, I think his number was, I forget his name.
They got up, stood up, right.
And it just kind of walked.
Yeah, just kind of walked back to
looking around.
Then he ran at the end. I do give the guy credit. He, after 2 seconds of being cool, he did decide, maybe I need to get over to the position. But, yeah, it was no urgency. It looked like they didn't even say in the play, I'm in the huddle before, okay, get back to the line, this is going to be a draw and I'm running. Which the play was decent. The play was good, Mike. It was a good play to do. You just got to stop shorter. And get that ball
right. The play worked fine. The coaching staff has taken a hit for the play call. The play call worked fine. Quarterback has got to have a feel for what's going on, a feel for the clock. Slide sooner. That's all, and save yourself a couple of seconds.
Right. Well, that's
one other thing about Dak Prescott. I remember when he was negotiating and all that.
Yeah.
And Dan Orlovsky. We all know I have a high regard for Danny O. Excuse me, made this comment. He said that the Dallas Cowboys have negotiated themselves into a position where they're paying elite money to a quarterback who's not elite. Doesn't mean he's not good, but he's not a $40 million quarterback.
Yeah. And look, they got. We're not doing Dallas Cowboy Radio, but I would say they got a lot of problems on that team, starting with the coach, starting with their running back. They got a whole bunch of stuff going on. I'll just let that one lie. Was there one team, before we move on to the Lions, was there one team you saw this weekend that you said, if they win the title, it wouldn't surprise me?
Well, there's two, the Buffalo Bills and the I'm not talking about like the Chiefs and all that, but I'll just below them, two of them. The Buffalo Bills and the San Francisco 49ers wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
In fact, I from the beginning, I've had the 49ers to go all the way.
Yeah.
From the beginning of the playoffs. I'm not talking about last September. But, yeah, I've got the 49ers winning up.
Yeah, but I'm backing off on that. I had the 49ers until I saw the last game, so I'm backed off because Garoppolo's going to – you can't win with him. Can't win with him.
Sure you can.
Can't win with him. Watch, he'll make the big – Mike, they were up 23-7. He makes the dumbest interception I've ever seen. The game was already gone, over, and he let him back in the game.
Just keep running. Run out of bounds.
I'm just saying he's going to – I'm telling you, he's going to blow it. He's going to blow it. They should have a Super Bowl if it wasn't for him.
Well, he overthrew a ball.
All right, well, let's go.
He overthrew one. It happened.
All right, so all this comes back to Detroit Lions. The way teams are winning now, the way the good teams play, the thing I came out with is the gap is not that far. Even if the Lions won three games, the gap to respectability, I'm not saying a gap to the Super Bowl, the gap to respectability is not that far for the Lions to these teams that played this weekend.
Now, I would agree with that. I mean, look, it's a long way from 3-13-1 and what do you mean, 31st place in the league to making the playoffs, being one of the 14 to go to the postseason. And I'm not saying the Lions will make it, but I think they can, just by the fact that they were closer to winning some games last year than their record, if you would look at it, would indicate.
Yeah. And they played, I think, they played six of those teams in the playoffs. And they were 2-6 or 3-6. I know they played Green Bay twice, 1-1. But they played Cincinnati. They played Philadelphia. They played San Francisco. They played the Rams. I believe that was it out of the.
Well, they didn't do so well against some of those.
No,
teams,
I said they were like 2 or 3-6, whatever. Yeah, 3-6, whatever. But I'm just saying they played them. So you have a feeling because you're playing them straight up. You know where your deficiencies are in these teams. So at least playing playoff teams to me is going to help out.
I would agree with that. And I think we mentioned this last week, but I'll mention it again. It's been harping on it forever. They started winning games at Ford Field. They won their last three home games at Ford Field, started to win some games in the division. They won two. And so at least, you know, those are to me games that are very important to be competitive and win games in your division, and also to win games at home.
Right. Well, now it comes down to, and we're going to the Lions here, who's coming back and who's not? And I'm going to just give names out of some of the free agents, Mike. I'm just going to let you just –
you're talking about the Lions free agents.
Yeah, the Lions free agents. Just an example of yes, no, or maybe, or either – no, I'll put it like this. Let's do it. I would like to see him back, or – I don't think he should come back because things are going to happen. I just want to do it that way instead of yes, no, maybe. Just would you like to see him come back? Forget contract, forget everything else. Just as players, we're going to talk. All right.
Okay.
All right. Number one player to me, we'll start with Charles Harris, the edge rusher.
Yeah, I'd like to see him back. I think it'll be market value. What he gets offered, and what the Lions think he's worth.
Okay.
I think that would be strictly a money decision.
Right. Now, I got a question. I'm not sure. I'm going to give a I don't know on that one because if you draft a DN – well, let me tell you why. Because if you draft a DN with that number two pick, and then you got a Quora coming back, and you got some of the other guys you have, you know, in there already, I don't know if there's room for him. So I don't know.
He outperformed all the guys you're talking about.
I'm not saying talent wise. I'm just saying if he's not gonna get a lot of playing time or his playing time to be cut up, then it might not be worth the money to bring him back. That's all.
Why would his playing time be cut up if he's outplayed those other guys?
Yeah, but you're bringing a second pick of the draft and he's getting time. I mean, he's getting time.
Okay.
The younger Quora, and the older Quora is hurt. Probably are going to get time, and they're better players. Those two, one of them's going to be a better player. The other one already is. You got to get that time for them. The only reason Charles Harris got a lot of time, that much time, is because the guy got hurt. So if those guys are all back together, are you paying for a guy just to be a part-time performer or not. That's what you got to find out.
All I know is he led the team in sacks with me. Right. He was a really
but
good
But I also
really
I also got a thing with guys that only perform in the last year of their contracts. You know, it always bothers me that, especially first-round picks that didn't do anything until the last, the last bite of the apple.
You know, Kenny, if you were the Wayne County Road Commissioner, you know what you would do? You'd have nothing but stop signs.
All right. What about Jalen Reeves-Maybin?
I think it'll be the same as it'll be a money decision. I think they'd like to have him back. I'm not sure he's an every-down linebacker or a regular, a starter when everybody's healthy. Certainly a core special teamer, but if I were him, I'd want to play somewhere where I'm going to be on the field. That's where the fun is. That's where the rewards are. That's where the money is.
All right.
I think he's worth bringing back.
I wouldn't be mad at him coming back. I don't know if he'd be a starter, but I don't be mad at him coming back. Alex Azzalone.
I think they have a high opinion of him. I think he'll be back. He's a speed guy. He's got good range. Can run the field sideline to sideline, and I think he'll be back.
All right. I think he's done like dinner. Out of here. Nick Williams, who I forgot was on the squad, truthfully.
I just watching him play at times, he really looked good. He really could get some impact in the middle. But I think they'll look to do better.
Yeah. All right. Tim Boyle, the quarterback.
I mean, the backup quarterback. He's not the quarterback.
Well,
he's
a quarterback, a quarterback.
Another guy, probably a money decision. I think he'll be back, but competing for the second or third spot.
All right, I'm done with him. I don't want to see him again. Kabinga, we can both agree he should be back, right?
Jason Kabina. Oh, yeah, the fullback.
Special teams guy.
Special great guy, right. All that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Those are kind of guys that you build your culture with.
All right. Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond.
Wow. You know, both of them have a role on that team. I mean, I think Khalif Raymond set his career high of touchdowns. Was it five? I think he's a fourth or fifth wide receiver, return guy when you need him there at return punts. So I would say Khalif Raymond, yes. And I'll say Josh Reynolds, yes, but not guaranteed to be on the roster on opening day.
All right. I'm going to get one more out here that everybody.
Wait a minute. Where are you on those two?
It all depends on if you take a receiver. If one of them, Khalif Raymond to me is going to be like a fifth guy and a punt returner.
Right.
So, yeah, he should come back because he does other things. But as strictly a receiver, I could take Josh Reynolds. I mean, because to me, everything Josh Reynolds did, I thought Cephas was going to do this year before he got hurt. And I think Cephas coming back, he's a good player. To me, Cephas is a good player. I think Cephas is going to have one of those jobs next year. You're going to draft a wide receiver probably, and you're also going out in free agency and grabbing one. So I don't know
so
if it's going to be
–
I don't know if it's right to bring Reynolds back. But, for the right price, he could come back. Okay, they both could come back. I acquiesce to you, Mike. They both can come.
Boy,
back.
It's certain, you know what, you hemmed and hawed.
I know, I hemmed and hawed, but they can both come.
But you finally got it right.
But I'm not expecting a lot out of either one of them. To me, they're just, filler players for the roster.
All three of those guys you mentioned are situational players.
Yeah, but they were forced into more than situational time this year, though. They were being depended on.
But Quintez Cephas is a situational player, strong guy.
Right.
Never be a speed receiver. He's not going to break down a secondary or anything like that. But he'll be a player in the league, assuming he's healthy, and assuming he stays healthy.
All right. Now, as we move past that, as everybody knows, Dan Campbell and staff will be coaching the Senior Bowl. Dan won't be coaching; he'll be an advisory guy. But they're going to take there. But I'm just saying he's not going to actually
coach. He'll be scouting it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he won't be actually coaching. When I say Dan Campbell will be coaching, he won't be actually coaching, but he'll be advising. Anyway, the point I'm making is give me three positions, if you're Dan Campbell, that you'll be looking at to draft. I don't want names. I'm just saying position-wise.
Right.
If there's three positions, I'm going to the Senior Bowl week. I got to find a player at these three positions. What are they?
Are we talking about just in the Senior Bowl?
Well, yeah, Senior Bowl, and then we'll get in the draft. But you're looking for drafted players. But, yeah, at the Senior Bowl, three positions I need to keep an eye on to see if we can get one of these guys.
Right. Well, I think if I read you right, I think you mean the priority positions.
Right.
Number one would be a pass rusher to me, number one, however, wherever it comes from. That would be number one. Number two would be a wide receiver. And number three, boy, I tell you, I'd like to – number three would probably be an interior defensive lineman, probably. I'm not ruling out quarterback, but I'm just not saying that just from – I don't think that's the priority at the Senior Bowl. But it might be. I could right. Look, they're going to look at everybody, that's
right.
For sure.
Well, these are my Senior Bowl look at. I'm looking at all those quarterbacks first. That's my top priority this week, to find out if it's one worth drafting high. Now, I'm not saying two, but just drafting high. So I'm looking at the quarterbacks first. I don't even need to look at the pass rushers because I know who I'm going to have my choice of the top two in the draft. So I'm not worried about that this week. If somebody comes and flexes my eye for maybe a lower pick, that's one thing, but I don't have to look at that. Number two, I'm looking at the safety class. I think that is a very big need for this team.
Yep.
So I'm looking at all the safeties possible. And number three, I'm looking at linebackers.
I can't agree with what you said, especially in the safety position. I go back and look at those the box score for defensive players that comes out in the game book every week, and all I see are tackles, but I don't see tackles for loss. I don't see sacks.
Yeah.
I don't see pass breakups. Look, tackles are important. If you don't tackle a guy, he's going to end up in the end zone. But there's a big difference. You're going to say this again. And I've been told this over and over by the people who do this for a living. There's a big difference between tackles and plays. I want a guy who's going to make some plays. Every safety is going to get tackles because you're the last line of defense out there. But I want to see plays.
Well, I'm not even worried about linebackers getting drafted because I know that's Chris Spielman's thing. And even from last year with Derek Barnes, who he picked out. If there's linebackers out there that he thinks are linebackers, you'll know. And we'll know draft time because – he goes over those guys with a fine-tooth comb, and I have no problem with who they take if they take a linebacker.
It's like the Derek Barnes calls him Coach Spielman.
Yeah, I mean, right, so he knows. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up today with the Stafford talk. I waited to the end because Detroit was in such a flux last night. It was like the Hatfields and the McCoys, half the town wanted them to lose, half the town wanted them to win, the other half wanted them to lose so they could blame him for the Lions' problems. The other half want him to win so they can blame the Lions for their problems. So I'm just looking at it from my point of view as I like Matthew, and I want him to win that round just so he can get the monkey off his back of not having a playoff win. I saw during the game that Fran Tarkington had the record of 174 games, I think, without winning a playoff game, their first playoff game.
Right.
So he beat the record, but he's now off the stick. Because he is one.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that makes up for everything, though. I remember Lamar Jackson last year won a playoff game finally. He's only been in the league 3 or 4 years, but it was a big deal. He said something about getting the monkey off his back. I think it takes more than one game to do anything. I really do, unless it's something so dramatic, that it's going to live in the annals of whatever sport it is forever. But I think Stafford certainly did. Let's put it this way: he didn't hurt his cause, except here in Detroit, with people who will never come around to give him credit for anything he's done. And those are people. And they're entitled to their opinion. They're entitled to feel what they feel.
Yeah, and I don't take the two situations evenly too, because the Rams team was way more talented than any team that he ever had in Detroit. So I'm not doing that. But then again, I think Matthew was more talented 8 years ago than he is now, but he's got enough talent left, at 33, which may be even better because him, the erosion of talent over age now has made his mental game more.
He had two or three good runs last night, and he looked like a young quarterback again, including one where he slid face first, head first, not feet first. But come on, man. I saw that before. Remember Raiders?
Yeah.
One year ago, I saw that. Don't do that again.
Yeah, but he, like I said, he's not the same as he was 10 years
again.
Right, but I mean, just physically, he's not. He's 23. He's 33. So. Just that part of
quarterback that he was.
I said mentally better, but his physical, he's not. He was way more physical back then, and you know he's had injuries and a little bit of the erosion of talent, which is fine. But I'm just saying, these are the years that, like Elway. When Elway won his two championships, people don't remember. 10 years before that, Elway was way more talented than he was at that time. I mean, Elway, you want to talk about a talent? His younger years, but he learned how to play the game. He had knee injuries, and he wasn't doing the same thing, but he had the mental game down then, and Shanahan exploited that, and they won the championship.
Two of them, yeah.
Yeah, so that's all it is.
Sure, do you want to go back to Y.A. Tittle now?
No, I'm just going back.
Quarterbacks?
So anyway, Detroit now can get off his back. He's gone. He's not here anymore. You can move on. You know, all the hand-wringing, we'll let it go for the rest of the day. Or the rest of the week if you want to. But after that, look, he's somebody else now. It's time to move on. You can't blame him for what's going on now. You can't blame him for what they should have done. All you can do is worry about what's going to happen with this team going forward.
Well, I think the Los Angeles Rams will beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the next round, and Matthew Stafford will be one of the reasons they do it.
Well, they beat him once this year.
I've been watching the Bucs a little bit, and they're not quite the team that a lot of us think they are. They're not quite that good.
No, I would have felt better, though, if they were playing that game in L.A., which they could have been if they would have beat San Francisco.
Well, could have, but they didn't.
Well, you got to go down there and take it. But
right.
Funny things happen on the road, but I agree with you that I think that they are going to win this game, even though like from now on I'm looking for a draft pick for the Lions, so they can lose any time now. But I think they will win. I just think that this Green Bay game to me is interesting. This Aaron Rodgers, I was looking at his record of his overall record. And everybody knows I hate Aaron Rodgers, but I was looking at his overall record for greatest quarterback ever in the conversation. His playoff record is not great.
You know, that's interesting you bring this up, and I don't want to go into it, but people have, in general, have the view that some of these Hall of Fame quarterbacks were big winners. That's not true. That's not true at all. And I'm not going to go into all of it, but sometimes, people out there, if you're of mind to do it, go back and look at the records, the win-loss records and the production records of some of the quarterbacks who are in the Hall of Fame. You'll be surprised, believe me. You'll be surprised at what you read.
Yeah. I'm looking at this article, so I hope this is right. This was, I don't know the date on this. This is from 8/4/2021. 124/21. This was a year ago. Aaron Rodgers is 11-8 as a starter in the postseason.
He started out 4-0.
Yeah, but
that's 4-0.
Right, but you would think somebody would like Aaron Rodgers, the way we talk about him and everything, he would be like Tom Brady's numbers.
He was 4-0. Is further because they won as a wild card. They won the Super Bowl the 2010 season, and since then he's one game under 500, including the 2011 season when they went 15-1 and got beat by the Giants in the first round.
He's 11-9 in the postseason. He was 138-65 in his career, but in the playoffs 11-9.
I'll give you another one. Warren Moon, great player, Hall of Fame. I voted for him. He's 102-101 as a starter in the National Football League.
Yeah.
One game over 500 and got 203 games.
Right. All right, Mike, that's it for this week. We'll join us again next week as we get to the Championship Sunday and we'll talk about that and any Lions news coming up. And I guess the Senior Bowl will be the week after that. So the Senior Bowl is the 5th, so we'll talk about any Lions news and anything going on up to that point. Michael here at DetroitLions.com. Check him out, Ken Brown from WGR Radio. Have a good day, Mike.
Hey, Kenny Brown.